Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by No Halftime. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. This episode is also sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Friday, December 9th, 2016. We have a glorious nine-game slate on Friday, so it should be a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys made some money on Thursday night. Thursday was a tricky, nasty slate with some ugly basketball in terms of if you're actually watching games. But I had a really good night, so hopefully you guys did too. Was able to make a decent amount of money, so I'm feeling good about the slate. And just with the way everything broke during the day, I felt pretty confident going in. Now, that doesn't really mean much, but, you know, did not have a good night on Wednesday, but Thursday more than made up for it. So it was a good day. And, we roll on to Friday. Before we start, the judge, you know the judge is going to say, did you download it? Have you been paying attention to the last couple shows? The judge has been telling you to download this new app called Draft, our new sponsor. It is fantastic. Man, I've been drafting with you guys. I get drafts from you guys all day long, and I'm like hiding under my desk at work doing these like snake drafts with you. It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys have had fun with it too. Draft is, it's basically like if you're doing a season long league, it's basically you have a draft like that, except it's only five players. It takes, two, three minutes. It's two guards, two forwards, one center. It's bam, 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 really fast. The judge is asking for your help to download this app. It takes 2-3 seconds to download it. And then challenge me if you want. My name on the app is The Judge. You do have to spell out The. And let's go from there. So again, it really does help to support the show, support the sponsor. And then that's a good way that we can get more shows. If you guys want me to keep killing myself and do the shows at 3 a.m, that's the least you can do for the judge, right? I don't ask a lot from you guys. Just a little bit of help. 2 seconds, download the app, challenge me, and you move on. But you will enjoy it. It really is a lot of fun. All right. Let's talk about Chambers. So on Chambers, we had a newcomer win. I'm just kidding. The judge took it down. Took them both down. We had two Chambers. The judge kicked all of you guys out of them. It was. So I had a couple nice wins in Chambers. I actually went with. I put up a score of like 303 overall. It was a pretty low scoring night. Quite honestly, I ended up going with Mac and Ingles. Ingles was a core player for me in every single lineup I made. I had Joe Ingles, and that worked out tremendously. He put up 40 FanDuel points. I actually had him projected for 29 in my projections, and this was one of the instances where I think actually watching all the games helped me. Like, I've seen Joe Ingles play so many times, and whenever he gets minutes, he always produces. And my favorite part about him, you looked at this game, you looked at Gordon Hayward. Announced that he was going to be out kind of early in the day. It caught us all way off guard. And then I think a lot of us didn't want to touch this game or didn't really know who to use. Everyone flocked to Joe Johnson. I couldn't believe he was like 50% owned in a lot of the big tournaments, which, I mean, I guess I saw some merit in that. But to me, it wasn't even a close call who I wanted to play in tournaments between Joe Johnson and Ingles. And the reason for that was Joe Johnson, first of all, he's ancient. He's so old. He's not really well suited for that Golden State game. Also, if it was going to be a blowout, and I thought for sure it was going to be, and it was, and then it wasn't, it was a weird game to watch. But Joe Ingles they had like 9 healthy bodies, maybe 10 healthy bodies. So Joe Ingles was going to get run even if it was a blowout. Like, he had to play big minutes. He was going to play 30 plus minutes regardless. So I love that fact. Also, Joe Ingles is not scoring dependent at all. Joe Johnson is completely scoring dependent. That's all he's going to do. Ingles does everything. He does steals. He's great at assists. He'll give you rebounds, and he can score too, and he can make three-pointers. So to me, it was a no-brainer. Ingles was like the first player that I locked in all my lineups. I didn't know if I wanted to go and use him in all of my lineups. And I finally made the decision, which I told you yesterday on the show. I made the same decision with Chris Paul, right? And that one didn't work out. I mean, but there's days. I mean, almost every day there's maybe one or two guys, you know, maybe more. You know, that's why I kind of do release my core four normally for you guys that I play in all my lineups, cash lineups, you know, tournament lineups, just everywhere, because I just love to play that much. And Joe Ingles was that guy for me on Thursday, and it worked out. So I also played a lot of Shelvin Mack, and that worked out well for me too. So also in Chambers and just in general on Thursday, I played a lot of DeMar DeRozan and Bradley Beal. I mean, I was going back and forth with a lot of you guys on Twitter today, and I, you know, one guy, I think WTBA, I think it's funny how I just know you kind of know most of your Twitter names and not your real names. I think his real name is Eric, but he was telling me like he couldn't believe I recommended the Minnesota Toronto game. And what I was telling him is, look, man, there's certain days where you just want safety. And so that means, so I went with DeMar DeRozan and Bradley Beal. I mean, I thought those two were just two super safe. And I went with Kyle Lowry in a lot of lineups too. And I didn't think they, you know, well, Beal I thought might have had a decent ceiling, but I didn't think DeMar or Lowry had great ceilings per se, but I knew they were super safe. And on a night like this, that was very scary. There were a lot of guys that were hit and miss. I wanted that safety. Even in tournaments, I wanted the safety in some lineups. So I went with DeMar, and DeMar gave me like 42 points, which wasn't spectacular, but it was super safe, right? That's what he's going to do. And Bradley Beal gave me 35 because everyone can get 35 against Denver shooting guards. You know, and even though they were somewhat chalk plays, even though DeMar wasn't that highly owned, like I was totally fine with that. And I mean, there's certain slates where you just want that safety. That's fine to do. You know, I mean, I think we've seen this the last two nights, but they've both been low scoring nights. Like every slate is different. Every slate you're kind of trying to find the right pieces to a puzzle. I'm not always right. I mean, that's for sure. None of us can be, but I mean, I just wanted to let you guys know some of the thinking into some of the plays that I did. And that's hopefully, I mean, you guys are kind of doing, you know, somewhat similar thinking. If I mean, my main goal in the podcast is to kind of not to tell you who to play per se. It's more, you know, kind of get you in kind of the similar thought process that I have, so you can start making money on a consistent basis. Other than that, I want to give a shout out to the people who finished second, because I mean, no one cares about me. Slim T 95 finished second in one of the chambers with a nice score of 289, and then my boy SCast 12 put 294, had a score of 294. I think he always changed his name on Twitter. I think his name on Twitter right now is Flunkin Franco. Like or something. I don't know if he loves James Franco or what the deal is. Anyway, so that was a lot of fun. Friday, as you guys know, the power rankings will be unleashed. And Friday will be a best of the best chambers. So the people who are only at the top of the power rankings. But chambers is actually, the demand is getting so high. I'm probably going to run another chambers on Friday that people who don't qualify for the best of the best tournament, I'm going to open up another chamber so the rest of you guys can still get a crack at it too. Because just demand is so high. And it's just a lot of fun doing it with you guys. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Real quickly, let's talk Dream Killers. John Wall, I mean, this piece of crap bum. I mean, like, I actually played him. I played a ton of him, and I still was able to cash just because, I mean, no one really went off on Thursday. I mean, no one had a monster game. I mean, I'm trying to think who had the best FanDuel scoring point. Was it Marc Gasol again, who no one even thought he was going to play? I mean, Wall was atrocious, but he still put up 32 or so FanDuel points. Both the Denver kind of duo at small forward, Gallo and Wilson Chandler, both sucked, just disastrous for them. My dream killer and my soul crusher, I love pairing John Wall with Gortat, so I had a decent amount of Gortat. It was one of the only plays I missed on. So some lineups I went Gortat over Embiid, and that hurt me. Otherwise, I would have made even more. So Gortat was that was just an entirely weird game, that Washington-Denver game. So Gortat really let me down with Hakeem with 15 FanDuel points like that. Ricky Rubio, man, I almost wanted to call. I wish I was like I want to call the Minnesota GM and tell him to cut Rubio right in the spot. He's a disaster. I just can't get over how bad he is. Like, he's just useless. He's basically become Rondo offensively. Like, he just stands in a corner. The defense doesn't even guard him. He has no purpose being on the court. I don't know what the hell is going on with him. Tim Frazier, I almost wrote a poem. I was going back and forth on Twitter with someone about I should write a poem about Tim Frazier and about how we can never play him again. I thought about doing it, and then, yeah, I don't know. Something I felt bad about doing it to Tim Frazier because I like him. even though I think whoever tweeted me that, I forgot his name right now, but he was right, because Tim Frazier, he basically got outplayed a lot. He got outplayed decisively by Sergio Rodriguez from Philly, and he barely put up 20 fandom points against Philly when Drew Holiday was out. That was severely disappointing. He actually was another guy that let me down. I played him in some lineups. The out of the value point guards, Jameer Nelson and Mac were by far the best two of the day. And then Marc Gasol, I'm putting him as a dream killer because I didn't play him anywhere. I mean, this buster, I mean, weird news came out during the day that he was questionable. I mean, if you look at like the data of when people are questionable and you look at like the rate that they actually end up playing in games, it's pretty crazy. I mean, like the odds are heavily, especially in the NBA season where it's such a rigorous grind and teams have gone to being so cautious. I mean, for the most part, they're always sitting out. Like Mo Harkless was questionable. I was pretty sure he was going to be out as well, because everyone questionable almost never plays these days. It's very rare. So, and especially Marc Gasol's old and his body's banged up. He's been around the block. So I thought for sure he was going to be out. And then he ended up playing after lineup block, we found out. And he ended up putting up a 50 Fando point burger. I think he was like 1 or 2% owned. And that's a great way to win a tournament if you can take that risk. I mean, I'm a little mad at myself. I didn't have one lineup with Marc Gasol and take the risk. But I really thought he was not playing. So that's why I'm putting him as a dream killer, because I just didn't play him. If you played him, congrats. Dream lovers, Jameer Nelson was good, even on a back-to-back for Denver. But Mac Daddy, he was the value play of the day. Over 30 FanDuel points for Utah. Tremendous. Kyle Lowry and DeMar, I'm putting there because they were just safe. And I appreciated the safety on Thursday. Zach LaVine, not an ideal matchup. I mean, DeMar DeRozan's a really good defender, but LaVine went nuts. He had like 39 FanDuel points. I'm telling you, I loved that game. Joe Ingles, I mean, Inglemania, I kind of explained my theory on him. When he gets minutes, especially at the minimum price, I mean, he ended up giving you 40 FanDuel points. I mean, at 3.5K, what is that? 13 times value, 14 times value? It's just insane. It's so tremendous for him. Ersan Ilyasova, he was the one guy I decided to fade on Thursday, and that didn't work out. He basically had 40 FanDuel points again. He's been so good. His price is probably going to be 6K by tomorrow's podcast. Just really impressive stuff for him. I didn't think he'd get consistent minutes from Coach Brown. No one does. So pretty amazing for him. And then Jonas Valanciunas. This was my sneaky ninja on yesterday's podcast. Hopefully you guys played him. He was only like 5.2K. I got him at like 2% owned. I had a lot of him in a lot of lineups, and he made me a lot of money on Thursday. I know a couple of you guys played him. You showed me your lineups. So hopefully you guys you put him in some lineups. Like, when Toronto is facing another center, he's going to get big minutes. Like another like legitimate center, he's going to get big minutes. And he faced Karl-Anthony Towns, and he got big minutes. He actually outplayed Towns on both ends, and he had more FanDuel points than Towns, and he was $4,000 cheaper. Quickly going over injury news, Vucevic I think is questionable for Friday. The Miami guys, Deion Waiters and Josh Richardson, Winslow, Babbitt, James Johnson are all, I think, doubtful. So, I mean, we'll get to the prices, but Tyler Johnson, in theory, is a good play. Dragic is an excellent play. Ellington, Magruder, all those bums are going to get monster minutes. J.R. Smith is questionable. Isaiah Thomas is, I think already out for Friday. So, Marcus Smart, what's the other guy's name? Terry Rozier, I think his name is. He had a really nice game a couple nights ago. Bradley's a really solid play. Horford, Jay Crowder, all the Boston guys, quite honestly. And I think Damari Carroll is going to be out because they're not playing him back in back-to-backs right now. And that's about it in terms of relevant injury news that I'm aware of right now. All right, let's get into some over-unders. So 9 games. And for the most part, pretty good games on Friday. A couple over-unders aren't up yet. Are the ones that are up. Houston, OKC. I think this game, they played this game a couple weeks ago. I think we were all super pumped for it. And then Westbrook and Harden both had kind of subpar games, especially Harden on that night. Like, I remember that game vividly. And Roberson played like elite-level defense on Harden. And Harden had one of his – I think Harden had his worst or second-worst fantasy point game of the year. I think he still had like 40 FanDuel points. But for him, that's – at his price, that's not going to cut it. But I love that game. 224 over-under. That's obviously a game to attack all over the place. Phoenix to the Lakers. Lakers are favored by 1.5. two crappy teams that don't play defense. 217 over under. We can attack the hell out of that game. Miami at Cleveland. This is the only blowout on the slate that Vegas thinks. Cleveland's 13 half favors, point favorites, and Miami is, you know, as I mentioned, they have no one. I mean, they're playing literally guys who are walking off the street. Like, I had no idea who that Magruder was before the season. So that over-under is 210.5. But, I mean, like, the question is going to be, what are we going to do with these Miami value guys? I still think they're playable in cash games because they're still going to get minutes. And even if it's a blowout, I mean, whose minutes are going to be reduced in a blowout? I guess Dragic and Whiteside. Other than that, you know, they're going to be scared to play Ellington in a blowout because he's so valuable to the future. So, yeah, the Miami guys are still in play. The Cavs guys, though, that's going to be a little more harder to find out who do you want to play from that squad. In terms of nasty games, Indiana-Dallas seems like a good game to avoid, although I think one or two guys from that game are still okay. And then Orlando-Charlotte is a 200 over-under. That's a pretty disgusting game. Real quickly, you guys know I love targeting teams playing up in pace. The few teams I want to target, the Lakers, Houston, and the Bucks stand out to me the most right now in terms of teams playing up in pace. All right, let's move on to the plays each position. This is what you guys want, right? This is the good stuff. All right, point guard. So Westbrook, 12.7K. I mean, not much to talk about here except he's expensive and he's got some Patrick Beverley defense. It's the only thing that may potentially worry me. He does have a history of Patrick Beverley, but I think he may just, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do with Patrick Beverley, but I could see him either just like dunking on him, eating him, doing something crazy. I don't think it's going to stop him. I'm not afraid of Patrick Beverley defense for Westbrook. I don't know. I got something in the back of my head is telling me that Westbrook is going to get ejected on Friday, and I don't know why. I don't know how that started, but I think it was because I was watching tape of when Beverly. If you go back to the playoffs for a few years ago, when that's when Westbrook, I think, tore his meniscus was when Beverly did like a really cheap nasty move, like right when OKC was going to go call a timeout, and then Beverly like went for a steal. It was like ridiculous. If you Google it, or YouTube it, you'll see what I'm talking about. Anyway, though, I think Westbrook's fine. He's still, I think, the top play on the board on Friday. As of right now, I have him in my cash games. The price is hefty, man, so he's got to get us now. He's got to get us, what is it? It's 63 Bando points to hit value. I mean, you know, quite honestly, the last couple of days, you haven't had to play any of the stars. You really haven't. And I would not be that surprised on Friday if that was the same case again. But I still think Westbrook is very safe. He's got a floor of, 45 Fanduel points probably, and the ceiling is 90. So in the best over-under game of the night with supposed to be really close, he's an elite play. The problem is, what we'll talk about once we get to Harden, is if you play Westbrook and Harden in your cash games, you really are don't have a lot to spend on the rest of your lineup. That's where it can get tricky. Kyle Lowry's next up, playing Boston on a back-to-back. The fact that Isaiah Thomas is out, I think, hurts Lowry because then he's going to get even more Marcus Smart defense. Toronto is going to be on this back-to-back. Lowry is a nice, pretty safe play, even though I do like to avoid these Boston guards. So I don't think I'm going to have a ton of Lowry on Friday. Kemba Walker, 8.4K. I don't like the pace of this game. I think it's pretty disgusting. I do like the matchup here. For Kemba, I mean, the production has not been that great, quite honestly, the last four or five games or so. He's been stuck in like the mid-30s. You know, I'd like to see that in like the mid-40s to feel a little bit better. I mean, if we're paying 8.4K, I mean, we need 443 or so FanDuel points. But in terms of Charlotte, I mean, they really struggle guarding the point guard position. I mean, not Charlotte, but in terms of Orlando. Which is one reason why they made the switch and they're starting Augustine over Elfrid Payton. He was just struggling defensively. So they give up like the sixth or seventh most points to opposing point guards. Even though it's a slow-paced game, a really nice matchup for Kemba. I think he's safe. I think I would prefer him slightly to Lowry, but it's close. I still like Lowry. I mean, it's just the Marcus Smart defense, I guess. I mean, yeah, this is one of the cases where the DVP would kind of be a tiebreaker for me, even though the pace is a lot better than the Toronto-Boston game. So I would lean Kemba. Eric Bledsoe, 8K. I don't trust this guy in cash games. For tournaments, he's okay. I mean, the Lakers are back to stinking like we thought they would be, basically. So Bledsoe's got the upside. You know, he's got the nice usage rate of about 29%. So in a second best over under of the night, he'll probably be low owned. No one's playing Bledsoe this year, so he's been so boom or bust and unreliable. So I tournament play, Kyrie Irving, 7.3K always. He's always going to be 7.3 to 7.6K, and he's always going to give you mid 30s, low 40 FanDuel points. He's not going to. That's what he is. So very suitable cash game play in this potential blowout game against the Heat. I still think he's going to get. I mean, this is the thing that what I've started to take note of. I have a spreadsheet now. I'm keeping track of in games that are blowouts. How many minutes are the Stars getting? And the Stars are still getting over 30 minutes. Because think about it, they're still playing like three quarters, and for the most part, like their production has been, it's down a little bit in blowouts, but not as bad as you would imagine. So like the blowout does, if he was like Westbrook salary, then I'd be a little more scared. But at 7.3K, I think Kyrie is still safe for cash. Although Dragic is a sneaky good defender, surprisingly. So I don't know if I probably won't use Kyrie in cash, but you can do it. He's still a relatively safe play. Don't love it though for Friday. Dragic, 7.3K. Yeah, I'm going to use Dragic in some lineups. I just got to figure out where. Right now it's only tournaments, but he's probably cash game suitable. His usage is through the roof right now. It's at 29% for the year, but it's even higher in the last few games that their entire Richardson and Winslow and everyone's out for that team. Deion Waiters, who hogs the ball. I mean, really, Deion Waiters is the biggest factor for me. I love seeing no Deion Waiters. No Deion means yes, Goran. That's our new motto. I should make a T-shirt. No Deion, yes, Goran. Because Deion Waiters takes so many dang shots when he's playing. So Dragic, very nice play. Blowout concern, maybe, yeah, a little. But still, he's an excellent tournament play. If that game does stay close, it's because Dragic and probably Whiteside are having really good games. So Dragic, I like him in tournaments. Jeff Teague, 7.1K. He actually put up a 40-burger a couple nights ago, even though Paul George is back. And he, granted, that was against Phoenix. Now you're playing the polar opposite of that game, Dallas. Just a disgustingly nasty, slow-paced game. Dallas mucks it up. So I don't love anything about that game. And I don't really want a whole lot of Teague on Friday. Dennis Schroeder, 6.8K versus the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks. That's why Dellavedova gets minutes, by the way. I mean, the Bucks are really good defensively at the point guard position, and they give up the fourth fewest to point guards. So I don't love the matchup against Schroeder, or I don't love the matchup for Schroeder, but he's been consistent, 34, 38, 26, 35, 46, 35. The Hawks have been a mess, even though they had a couple of nice wins now, I think, back-to-back. But he's been the only one that's really been good before last game when their entire team played well. So if you want to go this route, I can see it. I think he'll be overlooked. I think he'll be low-owned. The price tag has come up a little bit, and Millsap's back, so I don't, that worries me a tad. What's his usage rate? Yeah. 29.5% usage rate for him. That's ridiculously high. That's way too high. That's probably why they're losing. That's ridiculous. I mean, what the hell is that about? Man, maybe I got to go back and think about playing. Maybe I'll throw a shoulder in a couple of tournaments just because, I mean, if your usage rate's that high, I mean, then that actually – I used usage rate today. It was actually me and SCAS, Fluck and Franco, who were talking about usage rates, about choosing between Wiggins and Otto Porter today. And Otto Porter's usage rate was like 16%, whereas Wiggins was like 28%. And ultimately, we just felt, let's go Wiggins. Wiggins was just the better play. And so I mean, when it's that much of a discrepancy, that obviously plays a role, and then that ended up being the right play by far, even though Wiggins had a tough matchup. So I do love the usage rate there. So Schroeder's maybe I'll take a second look and play him a little bit in tournaments. Darren Williams, his price has come up. I mean, no one's playing him. I think we had our Chambers winner from last night played him, or 2 nights ago. Whenever you guys are listening to this podcast, I can't keep track of days anymore. But he's been sneaky good the last like five games or so, 27, 34, 35, 28, 24 FanDuel points. He's getting minimum of low 30s in minutes. He's getting as many minutes as his broken down Benjamin Button body can handle. So I actually like Dallas. I mean, the reason why I don't like I like Dallas and not the Indiana guys is who's playing up in pace? It's Dallas. Those guys are playing up in pace. So, I mean, Darren Williams, Wes Matthews, and there's one other, and Harrison Barnes are all, I'm considering them in some format. I mean, I love playing Wes Matthews in cash. So I'll probably, you know, that I probably will stick to. But quite honestly, you could throw them in tournaments on Friday. I mean, I think they're all actually in play for the first time. I feel good. I feel confident saying that for the first time in a while. I like that game for Dallas, even though overall it's still a disgusting game. And I mean, don't go crazy playing Darren Williams. I don't want you guys tomorrow losing your mortgage money on that and saying, you know, you went all in on Darren Williams. He's not a player you go all in on. Little bit of exposure. Reggie Jackson, here we go. This is what I'm talking about. He was 7K when he first came back. That was ridiculous because he was going to get like 23 minutes. Now he's 5.8K at Minnesota. And my arch nemesis, Ricky Rubio. I mean, how many minutes is he going to get? He got 26 the last game he played. So maybe that goes up to 30. I mean, pay attention to the news. If he's getting 30 minutes at 5.8K, I mean, his usage rate already, I mean, this ball hog, where is it? Come on, where are you, Red Jackson? Yes, 33. I'm so excited to say the number. I can't get it out. 33%. It's the second highest out of any point guard on the slate. Second highest to Westbrook. So if Reggie Jackson can get 30 minutes, man, 5.8K, I'm going to find a way to use him. I think he can be a fantasy point per minute guy, and he can hit value. I mean, I don't know if I'm ready to play him in cash. You know, if Stan comes out and says he's going to get 30 minutes, I will consider him. And maybe I'll throw him in a couple of tournaments just because he could go off at that price. Darren Collison, 5.6K. He's just let me down all year. I mean, he's really only a cash game player at this point. I mean, he struggles. He grits and grinds. He plays hard. He grits and grinds his way to the like low. His floor is like 20 and the ceiling is 30. So if that's enough for you to play on a 9-game slate, that's fine. I mean, I would tend probably not to. I think there's just better options. But he's just okay. I don't know why he's not better. I wish Sacramento played would up the pace a little bit. That would help him for sure. The aforementioned Ricky Rubio, 5.5K. I played him a little bit on Thursday because I knew he'd be crazy low owned, and he was. I think it was, I don't know. Was he? I think it was. Was he 2%, 3% when I was playing him today? He was. I mean, no one was on him, and he rewarded me with 14 FanDuel points. He sucked. He was awful, and I can't really recommend playing him, especially on a 9-game slate. I still think at some point he turns it around. I just don't know when that's going to be. I mean, right, and quite honestly, right now, Minnesota should either trade. Like, they really should trade him and go with the rookie they have, Chris Dunn, and go from there. Because I think he's not doing anything for that team. Tyler Johnson, his price has skyrocketed to 5.5K. He's locked in at 35 plus minutes because everyone's out for that team. They're super banged up. That's somewhat of a hefty price tag for him, but he's coming off a 41 FanDuel point night. Before that, 24, 28, 26, 32. So, I mean, he's going to get you probably 25. I think he's going to get you 25 FanDuel points, and not the best matchup in the world for him versus Cleveland, but he's fine. I mean, I'll probably use him in tournaments only, and if that game stays close. I mentioned it probably because of Dragic, but it's probably going to be because of Tyler Johnson too. So he's fine for tournaments. Alfred Payton, yeah. I mean, I know he had 50 FanDuel points 2 games ago, but he came back down to earth last game and he gave us, you know, 20, 21. That's the Alfred Payton that I know. And that's what I would expect on Friday in a slow tempo game. For the most part, I'll look elsewhere. God, I cannot find any players. I have too many tabs open. There's so much information I want to give you guys. It's very hard to have it all properly organized when I need like 17 tabs. I was trying to get Alfred Payton's usage rate, but whatever. It's not worth it. All right, so next, Ish Smith, 5.2K. Not really. I mean, just last game, 10 FanDuel points, 22 minutes. With Reggie Jackson back now on a 9-game slate, you can probably do better. Okay, under 5K. I'll mention Patrick Beverley just because I love attacking Russell Westbrook. Unfortunately, Beverley's not really an offensive player, but this is the highest over-under game of the night. I will stack this game in a couple lineups, so I'll have a little bit of Beverley. And it does have to be noted that last four games he's been better, and the last game was probably his best game he's ever played in his life, and then, at least in the NBA. He had 10.7 rebounds, 12 assists, and 3 steals. I mean, the 12 assists, I mean, season high before that was 6. I don't know where the hell that came from. And 37 FanDuel points. I mean, that's – I don't see him getting a seven times value again. But he can easily get you 25 FanDuel points and maybe even 30 in a high-tempo game. I mean, Westbrook plays no defense at all. I mean, literally, watch it. He wants no part of that. But he's exerts so much offense on the offensive end. He has, like, I don't know if he just nothing left or he just doesn't care. But either way, it makes opposing guys against Westbrook always in play for me. Brandon Jennings. If D. Rose is out, Brandon Jennings is a nice tournament play. I don't know if I mentioned D. Rose at the top of the show and for injury news, but he's dealing with a back issue. Jennings started last game against Cleveland, did not play that well. 31 minutes, still had 16 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and put up 22 FanDuel points, which is basically giving you value. And his upside is immense, though, if he does start. And I do, you know, I don't mind the Sacramento game. The pace is not fantastic, but Jennings, you know, he could go off if he starts. So if he starts, you can play him in cash probably, and he's a fine tournament play. I mean, he was like, I couldn't believe how high owned he was a couple nights ago. Man, I mean, I think he was over 50% or pretty close to that in tournaments. It was just insane. Other than that, Terry Rozier, if Isaiah Thomas is out, so he's another guy that I'll consider playing. I mean, he had 26 minutes, 27 FanDuel points last game. And I missed Marcus Smart. That's who I missed. I don't know how I missed that. Yeah, so since Isaiah's out, I mean, the two guys that are both in play for me are Marcus Smart and Rozier. Unfortunately, a lot of times these two split minutes. I still think if you're going to play one for cash, it would probably be Marcus Smart is the safer one by far. If you want to take a shot in tournaments at Rozier, you can. And even Marcus Smart, if you want to throw him in a tournament, you can. He's capable of giving you 30, 35. I mean, he's not super talented offensively. So I getting more than even like 30 would be, you know, maybe 30, around 30 is a ceiling or so. But he's for cash games, Marcus Smart's fine. It'd be a tough call between Marcus Smart and Brandon Jennings. I guess I would lean Jennings if Rose is up because Jennings is locked, probably getting locked into more minutes. Shooting guard. So James Harden. I mean, the question here is he's obviously an elite play. It's funny how Westbrook has a tough defensive matchup and he gets Patrick Beverley and Harden gets probably Roberson again. I mentioned at the top of the show, Roberson probably played defense against him. Some of the best evens I've seen this year. Harden really struggled, only had 40 FanDuel points that their first meeting. But still, I mean, ultimately he's matchup proof, and if he gets hot, he can score against anyone. So I still think he's fine for cash and tournaments, obviously. And if you use those two, though, it just gets tricky. I mean, I have right now, I'm looking at a cash game lineup of Westbrook and Harden, and then after those two, the highest priced guy I have is someone at, you know, right around that 7.6K mark. And, you know, and then there's a lot of guys in the, you know, fours and fives, because that's all I have left. So it makes it hard. And as I was saying, I don't think we have to do it. I mean, I think there's enough value out there and enough, you know, just really good players where we don't need to get both those superstars. Although if they both go off and you don't have them, you're going to be mad at yourself. So make sure, especially in tournaments, you have at least one lineup with a Westbrook Harden. They're both going to be pretty highly owned, I would imagine, on Friday, as they both have, you know, it's the highest over runner of the night. Just keep in mind, though, Roberson is an elite defender. Giannis is next, 10.3K. He's perfect. He's great. He's quite honestly been a better cash game play than Harden lately. I mean, Harden has not been that great for the most part the last few weeks or so. I mean, Harden's had a lot of games in the 40s and 50s. He really has to get as close to 60 to hit value, especially on a 9-game slate like this. I mean, Giannis has been the safer play the last 2 weeks or so, and he's still tremendous. So, no issues playing with him. I mean, who the hell is going to guard him for Atlanta? I guess Cephalosha will guard him. Cephalosha is actually a pretty good defender. So, but whatever. Giannis is still fine for all formats. DeMar DeRozan, 8.7K. Yeah, I feel good about using him on Thursday. I don't know if I want to go back to the well again on Friday. He's going to get some Avery Bradley defense. I think I'll probably look elsewhere. Batum, 7.1K. He's a guy that I tend to overlook, and he's been sneaky consistent. 36, 41, 48, 31. I hate this price range. I think I told you guys yesterday, I always either spend up a shooting guard or kind of go value this high sixes, sevens. You know, I kind of stay out of. I never have that much left in my for my salaries for that shooting guard spot. But he's fine. He's been consistent, so I can't argue with it. If you want to go that route in cash, you want something relatively safe. It's okay. It's a slow paced game though. Charlotte's probably playing down in pace a little bit, so don't love that. Otherwise though, it's fine. Avery Bradley. The thing that sucks here is his price. I mean, FanDuel, did the right thing. They upped his price immediately when Isaiah went out. And the first game Isaiah was out, Bradley put up 35 FanDuel points. But that's what he needs to get value. And we saw earlier in the year when Horford and Crowder was out, Avery Bradley was consistently giving you close to 40 FanDuel points a night. He had, I think he had one game of 50. So he's a very good play on Friday. I'm not going to call him an elite play, especially against DeMar DeRozan defense, which I think – what is the DVP? Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned yesterday, and that's why Zach LaVine going off was pretty crazy, Toronto does give up the fewest points in the NBA to shooting guards. So, tough matchup for Bradley, at least in terms of DVP. But overall, I love the extra shots with Isaiah being out. I think with Isaiah being out, he benefits the most. So, I will have some exposure. If you want to go the route in cash, I understand your rationale for it. And tournaments, he's okay to do too. Oladipo, 6.5K. Yep, I want this game. I don't like his price that keeps rising. When he's kind of not been that great the last two games, 24, 29, maybe he'll go a little overlooked at 6.5K because he's got to give you a 33, 34 for 35 FanDuel points now on this slate. I do love this game though, and I do want some exposure, and he gets the benefit of playing James Harden. So we know James Harden is one of the worst defenders in the NBA. So, and also, I guess Harden could see Oladipo a little bit on defense too. I remember Roberson being on him most of the game, but Oladipo is a dang good defender too. So either way, Harden has a tough matchup defensively. But I like me some Oladipo for tournaments. I don't think I'm going to go that route in cash, but tournaments, hell yeah. Zach LaVine, he was excellent Thursday. I was really surprised how well he played. We know the minutes are going to be there. I read the minutes yesterday. It's basically 40 minutes every night, and he gave you 39 FanDuel points, though, on Thursday, and he gave you 29 actual points. Is he going to do that again on Friday against Detroit and against some KCP defense? My boy KCP? KCP's going to shut that little Zach LaVine down. I don't want LaVine on Friday on a large slate. But with that said, I may still play him in a lineup or two. Like, the minutes, I love the minutes. So, I mean, like, the minutes – minutes equal cash. I love the minutes. So don't like the matchup. Won't have a ton of exposure, but I'll play him a little. Lou Will, 6K. Lou Will's usage rate is like over 31%. Lakers Phoenix is just an elite game in terms of pace, in terms of fantasy potential, in terms of fantasy goodness. He's, he had those two games of 55 and 46. And the last game against Houston, he put up 27. He was still really good. That game was just a blowout, so he only played 25 minutes. He still was super hot. He's been great. And he's been – if you look at, like, a chart that I circulated on Twitter, and I wish I could give the guy credit. I think his name was, like, The Beast or something on Twitter. He runs a website that's actually really cool too. This guy that whose name is something like The Beast Junior or something like that. He had a chart of all the players who have hit value the most times this year. And on that chart – like super high up was Lou Williams. So he's even at 6K, the price is rising against Phoenix. He's a really nice play. I still don't want to do it, but you probably can. In tournaments, yes, absolutely, because he can explode. Devin Booker, I'm going to roll him out in some tournaments. I'm going to stack this Phoenix Laker game. I feel a good Devin Booker game coming on, and the reason I do, he's starting to do other things. I'm calling him a one-trick pony all year. I went back and watched the Phoenix game. He's starting to give me peripherals. He got 4 rebounds, 5 assists last game. And actually the assists the last like 4 or 5 games have been okay. 5-1, which wasn't good. That was against Utah, so whatever. Then he had 5 against Golden State, 4 Atlanta, 4 Denver. So if you're telling me Devin Booker's going to be giving me 4 or 5 assists a game, that's an additional like eight fantasy points to go along with like 20 actual points. Like then we're talking. So in a high-paced game here, Devin Booker in tournaments, yeah, I'm gonna happy some of him. KCP, 5.7K. With Reggie Jackson back, I need his price to drop a little bit. So I don't love playing KCP on Friday. Maybe a little bit if you want. I just don't love it. Eric Gordon, 5.4K. On that chart I was just mentioning, a guy who's been super sneaky. No one ever plays him. I've been playing him. I usually play him in like risky lineups, and he'll go off, and the rest of the lineup will suck. But he's also been on that chart of hitting value like the most times this year. He was somewhat high on that, surprisingly, to most people. Even to me, I didn't think he was that great. But look how consistent he's been: 32, 24, 27, 31, 26, 39. And that's still a very fair price of 5.4K in the best matchup in terms of over-under of the night. Wow. I mean, I almost want to ring a gong and say play him in cash. I'm not going to go there yet, but that production just seems so safe, and he's got upside. He's one of the rare guys that seems safe right now with upside, which is just beautiful. He's burned me so many times over the course of the last couple of years. It's very hard for me to feel comfortable playing him as a core player, but just he's been playing so well. Evan Fournier, 5.3K. Wow, he's been really bad lately. The last game was 27. Before that, 10 and 12. It's just some tournaments only. His price is very fair. He does have the upside, but the usage rate is not as high as I'd want. Nothing is trending in the right direction for him right now. So tournaments only. Wes Matthews. I don't mind Wes for cash games. Right now I have him in my cash game lineup. I told you I want to target some of these Dallas guys. The one thing that surprised me, his usage rate is only 21%. It seems like when I watch Dallas play, and besides it hurts my eyes, it seems like he shoots every time he gets it. So I'm surprised it's that low. Like, who the hell's shooting for Dallas besides Harrison Barnes and Wes Matthews? That's the only two guys who shoot. So I like this play. I think it's safe. The upside is it's okay. It's somewhat limited, but 25, 27, 34, 20, 35, 28, the last 6 games or so. So very safe cash game play. I feel comfortable with it. I love that they're Dallas playing up in pace. I like the matchup for him. Fair price. Wayne Ellington, 4.8K. You can do it. He's getting monster minutes. 41 minutes the last game, 33, 39, 34, the last 5 games or so. He's giving you around 20. His floor is like 20 Fando points. The ceiling, sadly, is like 28 Fando points right now. But he's relatively safe. Other than that, Monte Ellis, how far has he fallen? He's fallen far. That's the answer. And, yes, it's really tough to play him. Maybe in one lineup, just, if you wanted to say like an RIP to my fallen homies, maybe you have like a Monte Ellis Brandon Knight lineup. Play both those guys. And maybe like they bring back the Ghost of Christmas Past from 2012, and they both go off, and you win a lot of money. Because the next guy up is Brandon Knight, 4.4K. Brandon Knight's been a little bit better than Monte lately. It's a question with him is minutes. He's hovering around the 25 mark. He's giving you 19, 30, and 15, 33 the last 4 games. So he's kind of boom or bust material. He's an interesting GPP play though in this Phoenix Lakers game. Look, if he comes in. And he gets the way he's being used. If he comes in and he gets hot, then Earl Watson stays with him and gives him extra minutes. So he's capable. That can happen especially against a porous defense of the Lakers right now, who are like second give up the second most fantasy points to opposing shooting guards, which I should have mentioned for why I also like Devin Booker so much. So I think Brandon Knight is a sneaky play here, and no one's going to play him, and I will be playing a little bit of him. That's it for shooting guard. All right, talks amongst yourselves. Let me take a sip of water here. Not easy doing a solo show. All right, small forward, LeBron. So the problem here is it's a potential blowout, and if you play Westbrook and Harden, you really can't fit LeBron in your cash game lineup. I don't love the play here. You know, even the Miami narrative, if it's not, what does he care anymore? Wade's not there, so it's basically just a completely different team. He doesn't know any of those guys. So I guess who's left? I guess it would be what's his name? Udonis Haslem is the only guy left from his Miami days. Plus, it's the games in Cleveland anyway. So he's fine. LeBron is always a good play. It's just he's not on this slate. It's going to be tough for me to find room for him. Paul George, 8.4K. Yeah, you know he did pretty good against Phoenix, 45 FanDuel points. The price is fair. His usage rate is super is way down this year. I think I was talking about on one show. I was kind of mad, which is annoying. And I think that I was going back and forth on Twitter with someone else regarding this and that. Yeah, the reason it's down, it's not, you know, it's because of Jeff Teague. But Coach McMillan should rectify that. I mean, someone of Paul George, who has top 10 talent in the league, shouldn't have a 26% usage rate. It should be closer to 30%. So that's disappointing. Anyway, Paul George against Dallas. Dallas is pretty good defensively, and I find a hard time going there on Friday. Tournaments, though, yeah, sure, throw him in. Carmelo, 7.3K. Yeah. Man, he's not cash game material for me. He's boom or bust. But then again, a lot of his busts happen on back to backs, like the second leg of back to backs. When I literally don't even look at his name, I just pretend he's not there. It's Carmel No, not Carmelo. It's Carmel No on back to backs for him. So 7.3K. He's coming off of this worst game of the year, maybe against the Cavs. Got embarrassed. It's a little bit of a sneaky spot for him. I mean, no one likes to play him this year. And his usage rate is down. It's 29%. I think it's like lowest since his rookie year or something like that. I was reading today, but that's still fine. So I don't know. I want to play a little bit him. I mean, Sacramento and Rudy Gay is a pretty good defender. And just because of pace, I mean, their DVP, they give up like the 11th fewest points to small forward. So they're decent defensively, but still Carmelo, when he's hot, he's hot, and if he's making a shot, he's going to have a good night. So I'm going to play him in some tournaments, and I will also play Rudy Gay in some tournaments. In fact, I might have one tournament lineup where I stack this game. I played Rudy Gay against the Knicks two nights ago. I can't remember now. Was that one? I can't remember if that was when Carmelo was on a back-to-back or not. But anyway, I played Rudy Gay over Carmelo a couple nights ago, and Rudy Gay gave me 42 FanDuel points. He's been sneaky good this year. He's another guy that no one's been playing, and he's another guy that whenever I play, I also put him in the wrong lineup for some reason. But I like him, and I guess I should know Carmelo's price has come down. It was 7.8K, now it's down to 7.3K because he's had some bad games. So that's a pretty fair price for Carmelo, and the Rudy Gay price is fair too. I think they're both relatively safe plays. I mean, they're both similar players. They're both scoring dependent. They're both ball hogs. I mean, I guess the one difference is Sacramento has DeMarcus Cousins, so Rudy Gay's touches are a little bit limited. I mean, Rudy Gay's had, you know, his usage rate's only 25%, whereas Melo's 29%, and that's probably enough of a difference where I like Melo a little bit more than Rudy Gay. But I like Rudy Gay on Friday tournaments just because no one plays him. He'll be solo owned. Sneaky play. Harrison Barnes. I'm going to use a little bit of a little bit of Darren Williams. I like Wes Matthews for cash, and I don't mind Harrison Barnes for cash, quite honestly, either. And I don't mind him for tournaments on Friday. Like, I'm going to use those three Mavs. He's coming off a stinker against Sacramento, but other than that, he's consistently in, like, he's got a floor of like 25 FanDuel points and a ceiling of like 40, which is pretty dang good at that price. So I like him. Andrew Wiggins, 6K. Played pretty well. Gave you 31, 32 Fando points on Thursday. I'm not going to play a ton of him on Friday against Detroit. But whatever. He's fine. Jay Crowder. That's my boy. He's a cash game staple for me at 5.6K. The price has come up about $300. I still have already plugged him in my cash game lineup. He started off the last game really slow, and I was like, dear God, he's going to kill me. And he ended up with 31 fandom points, because that's what Jay Crowder does. He grinds his way to giving you value. And, you know, once he gets to 6K, I'll start considering if I want to play him in cash. But 5.6K, still a little underpriced, very fair. He's pretty safe. I just love playing him cash. I just like the safety that he gives me. And with Isaiah out, he does get a couple more shots too, which is nice. Trevor Ariza, tournaments only if you want exposure to that Houston OKC game. Marcus Morris, don't love that play. It's okay for cash if you want those, only 5K. Brandon Ingram, I mean, I keep trotting him out and he keeps disappointing me, and I keep waiting for him to go off. He keeps getting minutes, 33 minutes last game, only 21 Fando points. He's basically giving you 20 Fando points every night. And he's gonna bust one of these nights. So I'm going to keep throwing him into one or two tournaments and hope it goes off. I mean, again, they're playing Phoenix. They're playing up in pace. They're playing the second best over-under game of the night. Everyone at this point has been burned by Ingram numerous times. So he's sneaky, and I'm going to play him a little bit. Other than that, Seth Alosha, he's now starting for Atlanta, and they're rolling Korver off the bench. He played at 26 Fando points last game. He had played 30 minutes. So at this point, he's probably suitable for cash, quite honestly. And if you really need to save and you want to throw him in a tournament, you know, go ahead. You can probably do that as well. All right, power forward. Paul Millsap, 8K. He's the most expensive power forward on the board for Friday. He's been really good since he came back from injury, 46 and 40 Fando points, and Atlanta seemed to right the ship. Other than that, he's been a roller coaster this year. I love attacking Milwaukee bigs, so he's a very good play. Right now I don't have the money to fit him in my cash game lineup, but you can do it if you want, and I'll have exposure somewhere though in tournaments for sure. Kevin Love, 7.8K. Man, this Cleveland game is really throwing me off with what to do. So I still think he's fine for cash, even though it's a potential blowout. I still give him a floor of 30 Fando points on Thursday. You know, maybe the ceiling's a little bit limited because of the blowout potential, but he's still fine. I don't love it though. Porzingis. So I played him. Sacramento played the Knicks a couple nights ago, and Porzingis gave me 42 Fando points. Sacramento has no one that can stop him. He's his own worst enemy. When he has bad games, it's because he gets stupid fouls and or Derrick Rose and Carmelo are just ball hogging. So either he's his own worst enemy or the Knicks are his own worst enemy. And the other teams can't match up against this guy. He's a freak. And speaking of freak, he should be like the Greek Freak soon and be putting up monster numbers and be 10K. And in a couple years from now, I think he will be. Right now, he's just a little more riskier. And obviously his salary is much lower, but he's still got monster upside. He's going to bust for a 50 Fando point night soon. I have no doubt about it. And I like this play on Friday a lot. I mean, his ownership, quite honestly, has been all over the place. One of the weirdest things I've noticed, you know, I've seen him on like 20% and then like 45%. So I'm curious to see what his ownership rate is. Right now I have it slotted in as like 21% or so. Actually 18 to 21% on Friday, which is a decent percentage. Maybe he'll be lower than that, though. I don't know. Jabari Parker. It's almost 4 a.m. now, guys. Cut me some slack. Jabari Parker, 6.4K. Where are you, Jabari Parker? He's been really good lately. I've been playing a lot of him. I just want to find out how Dallas ranks against power forwards. Yeah, so I mean, Atlanta gives up the ninth fewest points to power forward. So he's coming off a matchup against Portland, who's I think dead last to power forwards versus a much much better defensive team. But he's given you, he's got a floor of about 20, 3 fandom points these days and a ceiling of about 40. So he's fine. You can do it for cash, but I probably will not on this slate. And I'll probably roll him out in a couple tournaments. Julius Randle, just because I do want some exposure to that Phoenix Lakers game, but don't even think about using him in cash games. He's too volatile. Tobias Harris, 6.2K. So his price has come up about $1,000 in the last week and a half or so. That's getting pretty pricey now in slow pace game here against Minnesota. Yeah, I don't love that play. Ibaka against Charlotte. Yeah, I don't love that play either. So tournaments only for Tobias and Serge probably for me. Gorgui Dieng. It's only 5.5K. So he's cheaper than the Tobias guys. And he's basically kind of got a similar floor right around that low 20s. So if you're stuck in that spot, you know, you can plug him in. You probably do better though on Friday. Enes Kanter, just because you want exposure to that Houston OKC game, tournaments only, just fancy point per minute monster. Just got to pray he gets minutes. When he gets minutes, he'll win you a GPP. And then but when he doesn't get minutes, he's going to make you angry. Wow, Thaddeus Young, he's dipped all the way down to 4.8K. Just amazing. He got 30 minutes last game again at Phoenix, and he only put up 18 Fando points. I think he was a dream killer for me because I did play a little of him. Yeah, he's a perplexing guy for me. I don't know why he's so bad. I don't get it. I mean, if you watch Indiana games, he'll go 10, 11 possessions without touching the ball. Yeah, I don't know if that's the Jeff Teague effect too, where Jeff Teague's just not getting these guys involved. I mean, I blame the coach, quite honestly. Like, you got to utilize Thaddeus Young more. But Thaddeus is not—he's not giving you peripherals. He's doing like nothing lately. It's just he's not active. He used to be such a great player to play in DFS. Very frustrating. At 4.8K though, man, even though it's a crappy game against Dallas, I don't know. I'm gonna find a way to use him in one or two lineups. Disappointing. Other guys under 5K, Alex Len. Unfortunately, they're giving Tyson Chandler more minutes than Len lately, which makes no sense. If you know, why in the world would you do that unless you're trying to showcase a trade for Chandler? That's just stupid. John Lohr, he's a sneaky play for cash games, I think. Ryan Anderson, Houston OKC, he's going to give you 7-8 wide open 3-point looks. If he makes them, he can give you 35, 40 Fando points. So maybe not 40, but Ryan Anderson's a nice tournament play. Other than that, Dwight Powell, yeah. I might use Dwight Powell in cash on Friday. I really might. I was scared to hell to do it the last game Dallas played, even though I felt confident doing. Like I don't trust – the two coaches I don't trust the most are Rick Carlisle and Terry Stotts. Obviously Popovich, but he doesn't count. Those guys just – I don't – you never know what the hell they're going to do. Like what's – I mean, Stotts today, he said like all day long – I mean, Harkless was questionable, and then basically everyone thought Crabbe was going to start, and then he started Evan Turner, which – and then Evan Turner played really well and gave you 30 Fando points. Because Terry Stotts does stuff like that every day. Terry Stotts changes starting power forward every day. It's Ed Davis. It's Noah Vanley. It's Myers Leonard. And who then won't play for 20 games in a row. I mean, Stotts is a madman. But Carlisle is pretty similar. Without Bogut, I mean, Dwight Powell, if you watch him play, he jumps off the screen for Dallas. He does a lot of things good. I love watching him play. As much as you can love watching Dallas, I mean, he does everything: rebounds, assists, blocks, steals. He's all over the place in terms of energy as well. So 4K, man, I might use him again in cash, and you can roll him on tournaments too. And I still don't think he's starting, quite honestly, either. But that doesn't concern me because he's still going to get 25 minutes, as long as Bogut's out. Center, Cousins. Cousins is up to 11.2K. They're playing the Knicks. He torched the Knicks for 64 Fando points on the Sunday. They have Joakim Noah, who's a dead man walking, and they have Kyle Quinn, who commits more fouls than I do. So that didn't really make sense because I don't commit fouls. But Kyle Quinn, you know, is going to foul out immediately. So there's no one to handle Cousins. He's an elite play on Friday. The problem is what to do here. Obviously, I'm going to have him in tournaments. The question is here, do you want to play him in cash games? You can't play Westbrook, Harden, and Cousins in cash. Or maybe you can, then you got to play six minimum guys. So you're going to have to make a choice. do you want Cousins in cash over Harden or over Westbrook? And honestly, it's a legitimate discussion to have because Cousins has been far more consistent than Harden. 55, 64, 51, 67, 62, 50, 53, 35, the only bad game, and 68. So if you wanted to go Cousins in cash and then and just use Harden in tournaments, or maybe because point guard, there's so many options, you want to go, don't use Westbrook in cash, you know, which I know that's a little harder to do because Westbrook is so, he's super, super safe. But look, Cousins is an elite play, and I'm going to do some deep thinking about it if I want to go that route and use him in cash instead of Harden, just because I think his floor right now, quite honestly, might be higher than Harden's. As tough as that is for me to say, I think it's a sentence that at least has some legitimacy to it. I need to dig deeper. Elite play, though, on Friday. Karl-Anthony Towns, yeah, I just don't love this play. He's 9.2K. That's super expensive. I mean, maybe in a couple tournaments, but it's hard to find the money for him on Friday. Whiteside, 8.8K. Same with him. It's just tough to find the money on Friday when there's a lot of guys that you want, a lot of stars you need to play, that you want to play. So even though I don't love center, quite honestly, that much, I don't really love Towns and Whiteside for Friday either. I mean, I guess you could make the argument if, look, like I did earlier, if Miami's going to stay close, it's got to be Dragic, Whiteside, you know, maybe Tyler Johnson. So, you know, he's always fine for tournaments. Drummond coming off maybe one of his best games of the year, put up 50 Fando points his last game out. And he's super inconsistent. Karl-Anthony Towns is not a good defender. So I like the matchup there. He's $1,000 cheaper than Towns. I mean, you know, in some ways I prefer Drummond to Towns just to save that $1,000 if I was going to play one of them. I mean, but then again, Towns has offensive skills, whereas Drummond has zero offensive skills. Al Horford. So Big Al's been letting me down lately. He's 7.9K, 33 Fando points the last game, 43 before that, then 21, 55, 24. So he's been a little bit of a roller coaster here for cash games. That makes my stomach churn. I want safety, dang it, for cash games. He's getting Toronto and some Balachunas defense. That's legit defense. That's top level center defense. Horford, I still think, I don't know. I think he's going to have a good game. I really do. And I do think he gets a couple more touches without Isaiah jacking up shots. I mean, Isaiah Thomas, I mean, without his, I mean, with his monster usage, all his shots and all his, you know, his isolation and his just dribbling the ball for no reason whatsoever, it does open up shots for the rest of those Atlanta guys. I mean, the rest of those Boston guys. So, I do like Bradley, I like Crowder, I like Smart and Rozier, and I do like Horford too. Dwight Howard, he's coming off a 50 burger. And that entire Hawks team coming off a stellar game. He has not been safe this year, so I'm worried. I mean, I love attacking the Milwaukee bigs, but am I going to spend 7.8K and then have him be the one to destroy my beautiful lineup on Friday? I don't know if I can do it. Maybe I'll use him a little bit somewhere, but I don't trust him. Vucevic, I don't trust him right now either. He's 7K, not even getting 30 minutes. Clint Capella, I'm going to use him in some tournaments. I don't like the way his minutes are trending though. I mean, right when D'Antoni said he's going to give him over 30 minutes, and like ever since then it's been like 20 minutes, 22, 26, 25. Like so not the right direction for him. Even though he did have 20 minutes and 32 Fando points the last game, that was a blowout versus the Lakers, so he could have got 40 Fando points. So I do like the matchup here against Phoenix, and against Houston. Jesus, man. Not against Houston, against OKC. Now it's getting really late. This is the problem with 9-game slates. The shows are even longer because I want to give you guys all of my insight, every ounce of it. But I do think he's a very, very good tournament play. Miles Turner, man, he's been disappointing lately. You know, his price was like over seven. It was over 7K a couple weeks ago. It dropped all the way down to 5.9K. So the price tag intrigues me. He does have the upside, so I'm going to use him a little bit in tournaments. But that Dallas defense is pretty stout, and also a lot of that is just because the pace is so dang slow. It's hard for Indiana guys. It's going to be hard for them to have big games on Friday. Tristan Thompson's 5.1K. I hate everything about him. He's so boring to watch. But if you want to use him in cash, go ahead. He's coming off of a 20 rebound night and 35 FanDuel points, which is just ridiculous. You know, the blowout is a concern a little bit, but like I was saying, when I did do a dig deeper into those minutes, the starters are still getting 30 plus minutes, even when they, you know, the teams go, the teams have blowouts. So he's still fine for cash. My sneaky ninja from Thursday, I'm going to play him again on Friday a little bit. Valanciunas. You can attack those Boston bigs. I like this game. Boston does have a legitimate center in Horford. So I think Valanciunas, as long as Dwayne Casey doesn't, you know, jerk him around like a moron, which he very easily could do, I'm going to use some Valanciunas. I think just because I don't trust Casey, I don't know if I can play Valanciunas in cash. I'm going to only use him in tournaments, but I'll have a decent amount of exposure to him. I think it's a nice matchup for him, man. He's a really talented big guy. Like, he has offensive skills. And he's a 6K player. Greg Monroe is 5K. He is getting minutes now for the Bucks, so he should be in play for you. Not the best matchup in the world against Atlanta here. I think Dwight's still playing some pretty solid defense. Where is it? Where are you, Dwight? I will find it someday. I wonder if you guys can hear me typing. Probably can. DVP for Atlanta. Wow, yeah, they give him the third fewest fantasy points to opposing center. So not the best matchup for the Bucks guys here. But Greg Monroe is still okay. He's risky. Don't do him in cash. Other than that, under 5K, Tyson Chandler. I told you Phoenix is giving him minutes, so he's probably safe for cash. Steven Adams, he's probably been my most disappointing center on the year. In terms of real life, I've been playing him a ton. He's down to 4.8K now. I had such high hopes for him. His minutes have been coming down too lately. He started the year in like the mid 30s. Now he's down to like the low 30s to high 20s. He has not looked good. He is not doing anything well on the court. It's very hard to play him. But the price tag I love, and the game I love, this Houston OKC game. So, I mean, I don't know, man. There's not a whole lot of value centers. And God forbid I'm going to play Bismack freaking Biyombo again. So I'd rather go Steven Adams than Bismack Biyombo. And Bismack's 4.4K. And hell no. I'd rather go John Henson, quite honestly, at 4.7K or Steven Adams at 4.8K. I don't want to – this. I played that Buster Bismack two nights ago, and he gave me a perfect 9 FanDuel points. So I don't really feel like rolling up Bismack for my value center if I do want to punt. I feel much more comfortable with Steven Adams in that up and down game. Yeah, and that's really it. So that shows, I mean, center is not, I don't really love center on normally I've loved, and there are a lot of decent players in real basketball, but in terms of fitting into my lineup right now, I'm struggling a little bit. Right now in my cash games, I actually do have Steven Adams I just put in. Because I don't have the money to pay up for Cousins in my cash game, but I mean, so I got to figure out what I want to do. But it's we have some work cut out for us on this slate. Lots of good players. I mean, the funny thing is, I mean, the first thing you got to determine is how do you want to handle Westbrook and Harden, because that dictates the whole rest of your lineup. I mean, if you're spending, you know, close to 13 and 12, almost 25,000 on two players, you know, that's you know what, 40% of your salary. So it makes the rest of it makes building lineups. You gotta get creative. You gotta do your research, and you gotta be smart about it. And in tournaments, perfectly fine to fade those guys. Remember, like if you look at the winning scores for the most part the last few weeks, those guys a lot of nights are not on the winning lineups. So even though, you know, they still put up monster numbers, like unless they're giving you like 90 or 100 points, you can still win without having those guys in your lineups most nights. All right. That's it, guys. That's the slate. Beautiful 9 games. Remember, Friday is the best of the best chambers, but I still will open up another one for everyone else. I'll unleash the power rankings. Please do me a favor and download the app Draft. And make sure you use the promo code DFBPOD. Make sure you do that. And then challenge me if you want. The Judge is my name. Other than that, I hope you made money Thursday. Let's make some more money on Friday. Let's keep the good times rolling. Otherwise, have a good weekend, guys. I'll see you probably back tomorrow. The judge is out. Court is adjourned.